Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since wood, and you're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Matt Young about the support he provides through the organisation that he started, Who Needs Instructions. Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me, Gavin. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks, buddy.
Tell us a bit about your background, Matt, you know, and how you got to where you are today.
Blimey. Well, I'm the ripe old age of 51, so there's quite a background to go through. But the truncated version is out of grammar school into the motor trade. Love cars, still love cars. And I was selling cars, new and used. And then through moving, and I moved down to Devon. I'm originally from Kent, and I moved to Devon. I followed a young lady to Devon, let's put it that way. And I got into a little bit of hospital radio down there. And then I went back to the southeast and decided at that point to get into, to try and break into radio to kind of see if I could do this for a living. And was very fortunate to, through a little bit of training, to get and do a little bit of broadcasting. So I've been a radio presenter for a number of years. And then the radio stations started to consolidate. There were less and less jobs. So I moved out of that, still with the communication sort of thing in mind. And I wanted to do social media, because we're talking sort of 2010, when social media really was sort of, you know, beginning to be a way of marketing your business. And I was doing that. And the whole time I was doing that, I was, you know, trying to build a social media marketing agency and, you know, have people come and work for me and sort of live in the dream. And it really wasn't that way at all. I was pretty miserable about all this sort of stuff, but thinking, no, this is how I'm going to make money. And that was my focus. And that's where, and I've been asked before, was there a moment, was there an epiphany? And there really wasn't, but I sort of noticed that my friends around me, you know, middle-aged men, I'd hit my sort of early to mid-40s, and we were just a bit emotionally constipated, for want of another phrase. And I just thought, I've got to do something about this. And it took me at least another 8 years before I went, okay, now is the time to take the leap. And that's why I then decided that I was going to start this thing called Who Needs Instructions, with the simple ethos of just trying to get men to talk a little bit more. And that's brought me forward to where I find myself today.
Fantastic. Tell us a bit about what led you to starting Who Needs Instructions, a bit more detail, and, you know, how it started and going from then, you know, where we, and I'll ask a bit later on about how we're, where we are now, but yeah, that'd be brilliant.
I mean, I bought a domain name, and I think it was literally middle-aged-men in 2015. I was a married man. I had two stepchildren, two dogs, two cars, a mortgage. And I was doing what I think society expected me to do. I don't get me wrong. I had a fantastic marriage. The kids were great. The dogs were great. Everything was peachy. But again, sort of looking around at other people and my peers, my mates, and they weren't very happy, or they weren't talking. And I was really open to kind of like, I've always, yeah, again, you give yourself characters, traits. I've always worn my heart on my sleeve. I've always been a very open person. And that helps when you're a radio presenter, because you can kind of tell stories and stuff. And so that kind of led me to sort of see, looking at people around me and just seeing that I knew these people, I knew them well. And they would occasionally talk to me about stuff, but there was a facade that a lot of middle-aged men were sort of putting up. And, you know, just some had fantastic jobs, you know, doing really great for themselves, but the pressure was mounting. They, you know, I knew that the stuff they'd like to do in their spare time. And I used to sort of question it, you know, why are you pursuing a career in pensions? And the answer every time was because it provides a really good living for my family, but it makes you absolutely miserable. And I suppose where I've moved to now with Who Needs Instructions is there's a small part of the organization, which is it's a CRC, it's a community interest company, a not-for-profit. But there's a small part of it where I work with individuals literally to try and help them find their happy. And oddly enough, it's what society would say is typically quite successful men, business owners, happily married, lovely kids, great home, lovely car. From the outside in, all looks peachy. And they tend to be the guys who struggle the most. And then they feel guilty for struggling because life's given them all the trappings that they wanted. And then it's not really made them happy. And that's where that conflict comes. And that's where I've seen it time and time again with the guys I work with, where they kind of hold that all inside because they've got what society thinks is everything. And it hasn't made them very, very happy. So it's about working with these guys to kind of get to the root of what is potentially causing their unhappiness, but actually, more importantly, probably how they move forward and find out what does actually make them happy.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've heard that from other people that know people with money, etc. And, you know, while they've got that security, you know, they're not, and it's not everyone, but I've heard that there's some people which are not happy at all. And so I do understand what you're saying. I've spoken to people that have got money as well, and some of them weren't very happy at all as well. Mm. And it's a mixed bag. Some people are happy, some people are not. You know, it depends on the person and what's going on and situation, circumstances, do you know what I mean? So, and it sounds like some of your client base, as you've mentioned, are people that are successful, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there's something missing? I don't know.
Potentially, yeah. Well, I mean, again, like you just said, you know, I'm massively generalizing. There are some successful people who are blissfully happy. Fantastic. Great. You don't need my support. Crack on. Let's go for a beer. But they're definitely, and let's not just, so I said there's a small proportion. I absolutely work with other people as well. You know, all kinds of, it's men in particular. Why? Because it's a demographic I understand really well. And all I want to do is give men those opportunities to kind of teach them it's okay. And there's a lovely V word that men don't like very much. And it's to be a bit vulnerable. We're scared to show our true selves sometimes. Our ego is getting in the way. We're trying to be what we think other people want us to be. And I tell you, Gavin, that was me for 45 years. Maybe cut out the teenage stuff because I was still trying to figure out anything. But, you know, certainly since I've been working, I've definitely been that guy that acted up or tried to become the person that I thought I was meant to be. And only in the last 5 years, I think, can I sit here and say I truly understand myself a lot more. And I'm really happy with the person I've become. I'm really happy with the work that I'm doing. And I just want to kind of give that to other guys. I hope I don't come across as smug, because financially this is not something I'm doing to make money. Believe you and me. Part of the reason it's set up as a not for profit, but I found a purpose in my life, and it's doing this work. And I want to try and help other guys find a bit of purpose in their life.
Sounds brilliant. Absolutely. You know. How much impact has your work had so far, do you find?
It's something you have to write in reports, because I'm trying to, you know, find some funding from here and there. My work is based in the Southwest at the moment, but I'd love it to be national. So I wrote a report the other day for a small bit of funding I've received from a housing association of all people. And they want you to sort of say, you know, how many people have what sort of social impact. And I actually sat with a good friend of mine last night. And again, this is something I want all guys to do. Make sure, I mean, I cooked him dinner. We sat here and we talked from everything from motor racing to how we feel about our partners and all sorts of stuff. Don't get me wrong, we had a proper laugh as well, especially when he ate my cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just trying to get guys to sort of open up and be honest. And I've kind of lost the train of thought of where I was going with that answer. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, I was just asking basically how much impact has your work had so far? And you write reports and, you know, you provide information to people that are putting in funding to help you grow.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing it back. Because, yeah, I was having this conversation with my very, very good friend last night. And One of the phrases I said to him, I said, look, in the last 9-10 months, I can guarantee you I've saved 3 lives.
Gosh.
And that's a bold statement, but I have literally talked someone off the edge. And I've definitely made sure that, you know, there's a couple more men that potentially may not have still been on this planet. And that is just a bit overwhelming, but at the same time, it's what I want to achieve. So you can't put a financial figure on that. But if I've got to submit a report to someone to say, can I have £1,000 so I can do some more men's walks? And on one of those men's walk, a guy turns around to me and said, you know, I'm miserable. I'm really unhappy. I don't think there's a place for me in society anymore. And I can help that guy. That £1,000 is the best £1,000 that anybody's ever spent. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Gosh, what is the feeling that you must get from knowing that you saved someone's life? I mean, what is that feeling like?
It's a whole mix of emotions. I've got goosebumps talking about it right now, and I sincerely mean that. It's just that's why I do what I do. There's the reward, you know. The radio presenting was such a fun job, the best job in the world. I always used to describe it as that, and it was great. You know what it's like. You sit there and you do the show. It's great. It's really rewarding. But I was there to entertain and play adverts to pay, you know, for the directors to make a nice dividend. You know, it wasn't really a purposeful organization. But when you think that there's a man going home tonight that's going to have the family that he's a part of is still going to have dad, brother, uncle, husband, then it's difficult to quantify how good that feels. I get told some difficult stuff, and I have to deal with guys who are, and not again, not everybody, but there are situations where you're not sure where to turn next. And I do have an amazing support network around me, and I absolutely know my limitations and when I need to signpost people towards proper professional help, even 999 if I have to. But that feeling. I saw a guy last week. His wife has spoken to me since. He is doing some work with me, and he's in a very different place to the guy that I saw last Tuesday. So that when my head hits the pillow at night, that is a really beautiful feeling. So, you know, that's there's the reward. That's the feeling. I'm sleeping very soundly at the moment.
That's brilliant. I think you're doing some fantastic work. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Matt, thank you for sharing us a bit about, you know, the background and why you started Who Needs Instructions and the impact it's had. And again, I think it's fantastic to just, that achievement of saving people, you know, it must be an amazing feeling. What are you hoping to achieve with Who Needs Instructions moving forwards?
I mean, the lofty goals are a societal change to make guys realise that it's okay to talk about how they feel. That's a fairly simple, straightforward, bold statement. I'd love, in a quite a selfish way, I'd love a WNI, a Who Needs Instructions HQ, a building, somewhere physical that guys can come to and can be guys. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not certainly not on the hippie-ish end of the scale. I love a meditation. I love to journal. There are things that I do that make me happy. But I love a pint and a game of football at the same time. You know, I'm a fairly, I would say, a fairly normal bloke. You know, so having that place that guys can come to and a game of snooker, throw some darts, go outside, do a bit of exercise, have a swim, climb a tree, you know, be a kid again, have fun. But at the same time, know that it's a safe space where if you need to have a chat with someone or you've got some issues you want to work through, you're in a really good place. And you know, it's not, I don't want Who Needs Instructions headquarters to be a selfish place. It's a place that everybody's welcome to. And there will be the opportunity for everybody to come along, not just men. The women are more than welcome. The female thing is something that, whether you're going to ask me a question about it or not, I don't know. But it's something that I've always been really wary of. And I wrote a post on LinkedIn on International Women's Day, which was, I think, early this month or last month. And I was always preempting someone kind of going, why do you do just stuff for men? And I've been doing this. I mean, it's been bubbling along in the background for, as I said, about 8 years, but I've been doing it for a living for a year. And not once has anybody questioned me and said, why are you just doing this for men? And that is a saving grace for me. I'm like, thank goodness for that, because I'm not sure how to answer it, because women need a massive amount of support, just as us men do. But I know my demographic. I don't think I could help women the way that I can help men. So that's my focus. I mean, if ladies want to come and hire the as I said, the ultimate dream is to have this premises. Ideally, it'd be a lovely big house in the country somewhere. But if people want to come and hire it along for a female retreat for a weekend or a gender neutral retreat, I really don't mind. You are more than welcome to it. But to be that safe space where guys can come and just be themselves, but also have the opportunity to maybe express a few thoughts and feelings. That's the ultimate, definitely.
And you're right. You stole the question.
Sorry.
I was going to ask, why don't you help women too? But you've answered that. Yeah. And it's fair enough. You, at the end of the day, if you feel more confident in a certain area, then you don't want to start, you know, trying to support, you know, the ladies when you don't feel confident enough, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, and there's a lady in my city. I live in Exeter in Devon, and there's a lady here called Sarah Jepson who started an organisation called 6 Degrees, and it's an organisation that helps female entrepreneurs. And is there that for men? Potentially in the past there's been that kind of stuff, masons and stuff like that. But she's doing fantastic work, and she wants to collaborate with my group and her group, and we're going to do some stuff in the future. But fortunately, there's been a massive rise in the amount of support women have got. certainly in terms of health, because their bodies go through many more changes than men do, and certainly in terms of their entrepreneurial journeys and their work journeys and, you know, gender pay gaps and things like that. So that work absolutely had to be done. I then go, okay, brilliant, but some fellas are now a little bit confused, and they're not going to get less confused if they just hold that stuff inside and don't talk to each other about it. So that's, again, another reason that I started Who Needs Instructions. I attended the Men and Boys Coalition Conference last November. And the idea of the conference was to create a men's health strategy. Because, again, quite rightly so, there is a women's health strategy because their bodies go through so many more changes than ours. But there's not a men's health strategy. And the result of that is men are topping the suicide polls. Men die from heart disease and cancer more often than women. And it's because there isn't a strategy. And we typically don't look after ourselves as much as our female counterparts do. So that's why I'm kind of fighting the guys' corner. Not any way is it misogynistic or sexist. It's all about getting guys to realize that we've got to look after ourselves. It's not on anybody else.
Why do men find it so difficult to talk, do you think?
I think it's got to be, it's handed down. And there's societal pressures, and there is age-old father figure, grandfather figure pressures. And, you know, how do we unpack that? I'm very fortunate that I have an 88-year-old father who, when my mum and him split up, went through a complete change. He was quite the archetypal strict dad. You don't talk at the dinner table. Physically used to, you know, give me a slap. And I don't get me wrong, I probably deserved it. I was a right little meddlesome so-and-so when I was younger. But and now my father is a man of 88 years old who will kiss me on the lips and tell me that he loves me. I never experienced that as a kid. That man has been through a change in his lifetime. And at that age, you know, this is a guy that did national service after the war. So for him to make that change, and I have no doubt that that's had a massive effect on seeing my father do that, has made it okay for me to do that too. But I see a lot of blokes who had fathers who were like that and are still like that. So, yeah, it's quite a British thing, if I can say that. You know, we have, and you know, we have stiff upper lip and all that kind of stuff. But then you look at it in other societies as well. You know, there is a lot of it where parents, not just fathers, put expectations on their children. And unless we live up to those expectations, we might deem ourselves as a bit of a failure. So the whole, you know, one of the things I experienced, which was, to this day, I still experience it. I've got three women in my life who I go to. We call ourselves the Curry Club because we simply just go for curries together. And they are my sisters. They are three wonderful businesswomen that I met through networking in Exeter. And we go and have dinner once every couple of months. And the conversations they have with me are nothing like the conversations I have with my male friends. And they just do things differently. Now, some of it is a little bit jaw-dropping because they talk about stuff, let's say, in the bedroom that I go, okay, starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable. But there's no kind of, if a group of men were talking about it, maybe they'd be a bit sort of boasting about it. Women aren't like that. They're just kind of asking each other about it and comparing stories from the bedroom, not to rate partners or husbands or girlfriends. It's just to see, is this normal sort of thing? So they're really open and honest, and they hold space for each other. Last time we met up, we sat down and they went, right, Matt, go. What's personal life? What's business life? How is it? And they just give you space and you go, well, everything's going great there and things are struggling a little bit there. And then you work your way around the table. And to have that is something that I've never experienced with a group full of guys. And I think I haven't tried to replicate that with my male friends, but I certainly will ask a few more challenging questions just to kind of get the temperature of the room sometimes. And there's, in smaller groups with my close male friends, we can absolutely go there. But in the slightly bigger groups, and certainly when I run, you know, walks and talks and meals with my Who Needs Instruction guys, I never come with any agendas. But if a guy wants a bit of one-to-one time and we start to dig a little bit deeper, then I'm always happy to kind of, you know, show that to him and just learn from our sisters, our mums, our aunties, our wives, because they hold different, and again, I'm generalizing, but they have a different way that they talk to each other. And I think we can learn a lot from them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. What's a typical day like for you?
I'm an early riser, and that comes from radio days, because I used to do the breakfast show. So I always get up early. I do my best work in the morning. Although hopefully the time we're recording this, I'm still okay. But so I get up and I always try and start the day, and it doesn't always happen, but I always try and start the day with a little bit of meditation and a little bit of journaling, because I know that those two things help me begin the day in a really, really good way. I encourage other people to give these things a go. If they don't work, fine, but find a morning routine, find a something that sets up your day in a way that's going to give you happiness, that starts it in the right way. Hectic mornings are not going to make for a great day ahead. So I really love to make sure I've got my mornings planned. And you know, if the schedule falls by the wayside, which it often does, I'm also not going to beat myself up about it. But I know if I need to kind of, if I've got thoughts racing around inside my head, get them down on a piece of paper. Journaling is a big part of what I do. And then my day can be Zoom calls, can be meetings, can be walks, lunches, breakfasts. I host breakfast, you know, for guys to get together. I did a lunchtime walk today. Now that the days are getting longer, I'm going to start to introduce an early morning walk before work, and in an evening walk after work. Just give everybody the opportunity to turn up at one of the walks. Bunch of guys get together, we have a walk. The conversations go wherever they need to go. But it's, again, just a bit of male bonding. There's definitely some guys, and I don't want to put label on the guys that come along, but there's definitely some guys that come along that potentially need a bit of male company. It might be the only person they see that day, and that's brilliant if we can provide that. So there'll be stuff like that. I'm always trying to create content to raise awareness about my organization. So putting content out on social media, whether that be short videos. I love Instagram. For a 51-year-old man, that's a weird thing to say, but I think Instagram's magnificent. But I also appreciate my audience probably isn't on Instagram. So I put a lot of stuff on Facebook as well, where middle-aged men have just caught up and pretend to understand what we're doing on there. It's pretty varied. I have one-to-ones. I do some mentoring. I'm actually training to be a counsellor. So I go to college one day a week at the moment. Life is never dull. It's not a 9-to-5, put it that way.
No, it doesn't sound it. It sounds like it may be something you'd obviously, because of your interest in it, you work on it all the time by the sound of things. Because even if you might be sitting down, you're probably just thinking about other things to do with the company and what, you know, how you can move forwards and that kind of thing. Would that be right?
It does absorb a lot of my time, and I'm really happy it does that. That's okay. But I'm actually I do put some barriers in place, because I have a beautiful woman in my life, a lovely lady, hugely supportive, and I want to make sure that she gets all of me. And if I'm sitting there thinking about work, it's not fair on her. So there are shut-off times. The phone goes on silent. I think it's about 7 o'clock in the evening, and I'm uncontactable. Unless I've got someone put into my favorites on my iPhone, and that might be a man in crisis who potentially needs to reach out to me. Again, she would never want to stop anything like that. There is, and we've had conversations in bed on Sunday morning where she will go, you could do this and you could do that. So I'm very fortunate that I have someone that understands that this is part of who I am. But I also understand that she needs all of me sometimes. And, you know, things will get shut down. That she makes me happy. So that is part of me being happy. Me being happy is making sure I've got some Matt time. And Matt and Jackie time makes me even happier. So, yeah, it's difficult sometimes. You know, you don't lie in bed at 11 o'clock at night and go, I've got an idea, because that won't go down well.
No, but, of course. Yeah.
But I will. I have been known to get up at 3 a.m, go downstairs, and write in my journal. And you know, I may not always say I'm going to do some writing in my journal because I've had an idea about what I could do with some work stuff. But she's very accepting that I will. I was thinking about something. I needed to get out of my head. I've gone downstairs. I've written it down. I've come back to bed. But yeah, it can be all consuming. But I mean, what a great thing to be consumed by.
Absolutely. We're just going to another quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Matt, thank you for telling us, you know, more about who needs instructions and what you do and that kind of thing. Tell us a bit about the journaling guy. You've mentioned journaling a few times. What's this about?
I suppose he's my alter ego. So the journaling guy is a business I've had running for a couple of years. And it's been something that I've journaled for, I would say, full time for about 7 or 8 years. So before COVID. And it's definitely something that helped me get through lockdown. And I think it's also the thing that's made me realize that I know it's something that made me realize, right, okay, there's more to life than just wanting to try and make a buck. And that's definitely what's led me to take this journey to where I am now. And the simple thing that I got out of journaling was I understand myself a lot more. So, you know, again, trying to grow a, become a successful radio presenter, trying to grow a digital marketing agency, all things that I thought I should do. And then when you're writing your journal and you're truly, truly honest with yourself, that's when you find out a bit more about yourself. And that's where I came to the realization that actually neither one of those pursuits were going to ultimately make me happy. But the stuff that I'm doing now absolutely does. And that's purely from writing in a journal on a daily basis.
That's fantastic. I've done quite a few shows, and the number of times I've heard journaling, as well as gratitude, I think go hand in hand, because you can journal about being, you know, grateful, and, you know, showing gratitude. But so many people mention journaling, and it sounds like it's definitely something for people to work on just for their own mental well-being. Would that be right?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, the benefits are numerous. They really are. And even so, take for example, if you journal last thing at night, I've got a very busy brain. So if I'm sitting there thinking about stuff and I'm trying to get to sleep, you know, if I'm thinking about stuff, I'm not getting to sleep. If that, and you've heard it probably numerous times before, you keep a notepad and a pencil beside your bed and you get an idea or something's in your head, I promise you, if you lean over and write that thing down so it stops rattling around endlessly inside your head and it's on that piece of paper, so I won't forget it. I haven't got to worry about forgetting that thought. I might need to do something with that first thing in the morning, but right now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing I can do about that. Write that down. It's going to help you sleep. So the process of maybe writing about your day just before you go to bed, in simple terms, is going to help you sleep. Now, I'm not going to call myself the journaling guy without having done a fair bit of research on this. And there's a professor who goes by the wonderfully American name of James W. Pennebaker. And he's been studying emotional writing since the mid-1980s. And he has given me that scientific proof. Now, I'm not a learned, educated person. I left school in the fifth year to do a YTS scheme, so a youth training scheme. I did an apprenticeship, basically. So I didn't even do sixth form. But this guy broke it down. And in really, really simple terms, why does writing about your thoughts and feelings make you feel better? If we're stressed about something, or if we hold something inside, and you can see why this leads into the helping men to open up a bit more stuff, but if we hold that stuff inside, it gets us stressed. It's like a poison inside our body. We have, and this is where the medical stuff comes in that I've read. Again, it's not me being a medical professional, but the white blood cells in our blood systems are there to attack the nasties. They're there to attack the diseases, okay? If you're stressed, they attack the stress, in simple terms. There's more complicated answers than that, but this is my understanding of it. So they're attacking the stress. While they're doing that, they're not getting rid of the diseases and the illnesses and the viruses and the colds that you're going to be suffering. So that stress makes you feel worse. It actually makes you ill. If you confess, if you write down the stuff, if you get the stuff out of your head that's rattling around there and write it down, it lowers your blood pressure. Your perspiration levels go down. Your heart rate slows. The stress you're feeling is lessened. Therefore, by writing that stuff down, you will feel better. Scientifically proven. There's a lot to be said about getting stuff out of your head, cathartic. You know, there's all that sort of stuff as well. But that's a physical reason studied and blood tests carried out on thousands and thousands of students. And the proof is right there. So that's, I always like to tell that one story because it's a great example of, well, everybody says journaling works, but how does it work? Well, there's a stress reliever for you right there.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's a brilliant thing to do, you know. What's the best tip you can offer when it comes to journaling?
Brutal honesty. So there is an epiphany light bulb moment for me here. And so I told you I used to be a digital marketer. I used to help people run social media accounts. So there was always a filter. What can we say? What can't we say? And I remember writing a passage in my journal, one paragraph, and I stopped and I read it back. And if I may be so bold, it was absolute balderdash. It was rubbish. I was like, that is filtered. I could put that on Twitter right now or on Facebook and I'd be happy for it to go out there. It wasn't how I felt. So I then said, right, now you need to write down how you really feel, the brutally honest answer. And I wrote that down and it was different, very, very different. And the reason you do that is because you're just, not the reason, but if you don't do that, you're just lying to yourself. Now, believe you and me, I don't want anybody to read my journal. And it's not because there's nasty, dark thoughts or anything like that. But in a moment in time, I might write something that I don't mean the next day. So if someone reads that, well, he once said that about me and I've written about, you know, my nearest and dearest of how they might make me feel. So, you know, it's that brutal honesty because that gives you the realization that you then have to be honest with yourself. Now, in my journaling journey, I went through a 6.5-year divorce, which, as you can probably imagine, wasn't really smooth and plain sailing. So, yes, I definitely got a little bit angry in my journal about the other person involved. But what it also allowed me to do was be brutally honest about my part that I played in that marriage. And by writing that stuff down and going, yeah, I wasn't a great husband because I did X, Y, and Z. Now, can I just say, neither one of us did anything wrong. There were things in my marriage where I was very much, if you need me to do anything, love, let me know. And there was not, I wasn't very proactive. That must have been like having a third child for my ex-wife. And so I've been really honest about that in my journal. Not something I like to talk about very often, but I'm going to give you that example because that's where you have to get to. You're not going to learn about yourself unless you're honest with yourself. And I don't want other people to read my journal. I have people in my life that I trust not to read my journal. But unless you've got that brutal honesty, unless you can put that down onto a piece of paper, you're not going to learn about yourself. And that's where I've come. That's the position I've got to in life, because I understand myself. I know, I think I'm learning much more about, you know, the mistakes I've made. I'm going to make some more undoubtedly. But by being honest with yourself, you can fix those mistakes. And I think I'm a little bit more proactive in my new relationship. And hopefully my lovely partner will testify to that.
Oh, brilliant stuff. What's next? What's next for Who Needs Instructions?
Again, brutal honesty. I need to try and figure out how we make a living out of this stuff. I have a membership. I have a very small amount of members who pay me a monthly figure, and we have a support network for them. They get discounts at various retail outlets around the city that I live in and discounts with the events that I run. We have a very active WhatsApp group. We do Zoom calls, and the guys can call me and message me whenever they want. And at one time or the other, all my members will have a little one-to-one. It might be a bad day. It might be a situation. It might be some advice. It might be just them wanting to get some steam coming out of their ears. So there is that little membership. As a not-for-profit, you can apply for funding. And funding is not very... I don't run a very sexy organization. I don't run an organization where people are just going to hand me money. And that, don't get me wrong, not many people have organizations that get them given money. But when I say that my typical audience is a middle-class, middle-aged man, there's not a lot of funding going around to support those fellas. Quite rightfully so. So it's just figuring out how we try and get some money together to make sure that I can put this roof over my head and put some food on my table. I don't have any desire to be a wealthy, rich man. I'm not building this company to sell it. I can't do that. It's a not-for-profit. I am doing this because it's a passion for mine. It's a purposeful business. So I just would like it to grow so it can pay me a salary and continue to be able to come and speak to people like yourself and say, without trying to sound like I'm boasting, but you know, next year I've saved 3 more lives. What more could you want out of life than to say that that someone still has a member of their family that may not have done in the past?
I mean, that's an amazing thing. You know, I might see it on maybe the odd YouTube channel once in a while. You see it come up on social media, but there's not many people can say they've, you know, helped talk people down and, you know, from moving forwards in a very negative way. And, you know, obviously the consequences have been dire. So that is an amazing achievement because not many people have been able to do that. And some people, it's difficult, you know, when someone's in that frame of mind. I've spoken to people that have spoken to people that, you know, they talk about ending it all, etc. Mm-hmm. And it's a very challenging situation.
Oh, you know? I mean, the Samaritans, people on the end of the phone, the Samaritans do it day in, day out. They are incredible. And the resilience that those people have to be able to do that on a daily basis is just, that's phenomenal. So, you know, listen, I'm very lucky to say I can pinpoint it because I have to write reports and I have to make sure that I've got this stuff in my mind so that I can say to people, look, the money you gave me has been spent and we saved this and we did that. But those guys are doing it on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Matt, thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you on social media if they want to get in touch or provide funding?
Well, gosh, I'll give you my email address and phone number if you're going to fund me. Listen, if you Google Who Needs Instructions, my website is whoneedsinstructions.com. Email address is info@whoneedsinstructions.com. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. I have accounts on them all. I even got a TikTok account. It's not very active because I'm a 51-year-old man. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing on there. But yeah, I come and follow us. Give us a follow. Send me some suggestions. Point people in our direction. Anything like that. We're sort of Southwest based at the moment. I'd love to be able to push the business out and make it at least nationwide at some point in the future. But yeah, and if you know any organizations that would like to kind of, you know, give us some funding or would like to work on some projects together, collaboration is something that in this space is really, really hot. I've got some guys in Exeter who run similar charities, and we're doing work together because we've all got the same purpose. So yeah, it'd be great to hear from anybody. And Gavin, honestly, mate, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate this opportunity. It's lovely. Thank you.
No problems. I think what you're doing is fantastic. You know, more than happy to have you on the show. And thanks again for coming on.
Cheers, buddy.
And thank you to our listeners. You know where you can find me on Instagram @GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.